Hey, ACS fans, Lynette here, lasagna baker extraordinaire and lover of all carbs that Adam can't eat. Pussy. Anyway, I wanted to tell you guys that space is filling up for the Corolla Family Barbecue. It's filling up fast. Turns out tons of people are interested in coming to the studio to see where the podcast is recorded and hang out for dinner in the parking lot with everyone from the network. Everyone you guys love, Adam, Gina, Brian, Dawson, myself, lackeys, drinking, grilling, talking to you guys all night long, ba-beep, ba-beep. So if you want 2 tickets to the barbecue, there's only one thing you can do. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and sign up for the 12-pack case club now because spots are going fast, so you got to hurry. So come join us for the Corolla Family Barbecue June 22nd at the ACS Studios, exclusively for our 12-pack Case Club members. We love you guys.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Hey, Buzzaboo! Brackens, bros, and breezer misers. And ha, ha, ha. Dr. Drew, board certified, didn't. Boo! All right, Drewski.
I love it.
We were going to...
Crank yank.
Yeah, let's take a couple of these calls, and okay. I'll tell you what I know about... The new iteration of Crank Yankers. Let's see. Is Joe's on there? Meds, back pain. Joe, 43, Colorado Springs.
Hey, it's an honor, guys. Been listening to you since like 95. And
thanks,
I got a question
man.
For Dr. Drew. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I take Suboxone for chronic back pain, and my doctor's trying to get me off of it. And I'm wondering if a shorter acting opiate might make the withdrawals any less. Or if there's anything else I can do. I know it's going to be a bitch regardless.
Some people are reporting some results with tramadol for coming off Suboxone. I've not seen that, but it makes sense to me that it might work. So you could talk to your doctor about that. How much Suboxone are you taking?
I was on 20 milligrams a day, and I'm down to 2.
And how long a period of time – over what period of time did you taper?
I was doing –
Over
4
what
milligrams
period?
A month.
Listen, okay, 4 milligrams a month, fine. So that's great. You made it down to that, and it's that last bit that's the worst always. And sometimes things like tramadol can work. And some in the past, I used to throw people in the hospital. And the Suboxone withdrawal is actually, from a cold turkey standpoint, worse than most other opiates. It's a bad one. It takes about 2 weeks. But again, I've heard some decent results with tramadol. Okay?
All right. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
and
talk to
once again, guys,
that.
Really appreciate everything you've done. It's
you
fantastic.
Bet. Thanks, Joe.
Good luck with that, man.
Good luck. All right. I should thank LifeLock, promo code Adam, TotalRestore1.com, and ExpressVPN.com/ADS for sponsoring this show. All right. I'm going to take the one more call.
Yeah.
On line 3, talk to Barry from Toronto, 47. Barry.
Hey, Adam.
Corolla.
How are you doing, guys? Nice
doing
to
good.
Talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah. Silly question. How come nobody has ever picked up your idea for that Harlem Globetrotters movie? That's such a great idea.
Yeah, we had a really good idea for a movie, and you know, we may be trying to bring it back because Nick Santora has new connections with new groups and new whatevers, but we probably wrote a treatment for it and actually went out to lunch a couple of times with the guy who owned the Harlem Globetrotters. And ever tell you about this notion? Well, it struck me that Nick Santora, who's done all those movies, Scorpion, a bunch of movies and TV shows and stuff, he got a hold of me. Also, can I tell you the Nick Santoras of the world? the Nick Santora of the world, best-selling author and blah, 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 real smart guy. Nick Santora saw my movie, The Hammer, and he just went, well, whoever made that movie's good. if that guy made that movie, I want to have lunch with that guy and talk to him about making movies, which is the first thing. I didn't know who he was. Next thing you know, we're having lunch. It's not that complicated.
Right.
But he has that sort of momentum. But he's also smart. He just looked at a movie. You know, it's a low-budget movie. I'm not a great actor. But he saw it and he went, hey, that guy knows how to make a movie. I should talk to him. We started talking about movies and started thinking about the Harlem Globetrotters and then started thinking about the Washington Generals. And it was loosely titled Professional Losers, which is the Washington Generals are professional losers.
Right.
But those guys were the best players in their high school team, and they were all Indiana State when they were
no
in college.
Kidding.
Well, you got to know how to play.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't just take schlubs
right
off the schoolyard and put them in there.
No, the Globetrotters had to be beating a team that looked decent.
Right.
Right.
There's a very good chance that every guy on the Washington Generals was all city in his high school. He wasn't riding the pine in high school. That guy was a star of his little team in Indiana or Chicago, wherever he was.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was the best player on his team. May have been the best player in his state. Now he just loses every single night. I mean, there's probably some guy on that team whose high school team was like unbeaten and went to the Indiana State Championship and won the whole thing. You know, now they just lose and lose and lose every single night. And the premise was, you know, the bus they drive is broken down, the hotels they stay at, the women are, you know, the groupies, everything's bad for them. And the guy has a son and there's a divorce and the son kind of wants to know. The son's six, wants to know my dad loses every night, you know, when he was so good back in the day, you know, or show me all the trophies and the pictures and the plaques and the press clippings and everything. Now he just gets paid to lose. Hmm. And it was true. I think the Harlem Globetrotters were coming up on their 100th birthday. And of course, Drew, at some point, the Professional Losers, the 100th anniversary of the Washington of the Harlem Globetrotters is going to take place at Madison Square Gardens with all the luminaries and LeBron James and Barack Obama and all the people for their 100th anniversary. And the Washington Generals were going to try to beat them.
Beat them.
They were going to try. They were going to practice. They're holding secret nighttime practices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they get a little head start, of course, because the Globetrotters don't know. They're just confused a little. Like the guy goes up to do a layup, and the guy swats it out of his hand and takes it the other way and scores. They're like, "What? Come on, man!
What's that about?
You're supposed to get out of the way." You know what I mean? But eventually, it
becomes a game.
It becomes a game, and not only does it become a game, they know it's a game. The Generals know that Harlem Globetrotters
are playing. Now.
The crowd knows it's a game at a certain point.
Yeah, I love it.
And they are on the brink of losing their 100th anniversary game at the Madison Square Garden. That was the premise of Professional Losers. Who the hell knows how anything works? I think we pitched it over to like Adam Sandler's company.
It would have been good for them.
The guy was doing it was like fresh off of Paul Blart Mall Cop. So he was like full of himself. It was just like a weird and stupid. Anyway. Who the hell knows?
So, Barry, what's your question?
Sorry. Quietly, funniest joke ever, Marina Waterman.
Oh, right.
What?
Yeah. It's so weird in movies. Thank you. It's so weird in movies what gets a laugh and what doesn't get a laugh. You know, you have no idea when you're making the movie. Yeah. Jokes you think are great.
Yeah.
The Hammer was filled with great jokes. If you watch it in a crowd, in a theater, the biggest laugh comes when I'm sitting, I'm taking the girl out to dinner, Heather Jorgensen out to dinner, and I go, the bill comes, and I go, here's a credit card, and I go, oh, and take this one for backup. And I give him a second credit. He always gets a big laugh. It wasn't even a joke. Like, I wrote it. We just kind of did it or said, like, why don't you just do that? Like, to me and Hench, it wasn't funny. To the audience, it's always funny.
Well, you know what's interesting? I was watching Russian Doll, that Netflix series. Have you seen that? The Natasha Lyonne thing?
I've not seen it
yet. Okay. It's confusing. And I watched it, and I spent three episodes trying to decide if I liked it, and then I was trying to figure it out, and then I decided I did like it, and then I watched it all the way through. And I was showing it to my son because I thought he kind of raises some issues he's kind of interested in. And so I watched two episodes with him. I rewatched it. I liked it enough to rewatch it. And it's funny as fuck, and I missed it entirely. I was so busy trying to figure it out, and so many other things were occupying my mind. I missed the funny, which was really interesting to me. I was like, oh my God, this is hysterical, and I didn't even know it.
So the joke Barry's talking about that I was in love with when I wrote it is when my character was auditioning in Road Hard for Close Quarters, the family that lived in a submarine, a sitcom about the family that lived in a submarine. I was auditioning for like Gus the repairman, mm-hmm. and I said like, oh, Mrs. Waterman, you're getting frisky. And she went, please call me Marina. Her name is Marina Waterman. Yeah. She lived in a submarine. Yeah. No one ever laughs. Oh. No one ever.
There it is. Close quarters.
There's the poster. Yeah.
That's a funny poster.
Yeah. Now, but thank you, Barry. You're the one person that laughs at Marina Waterman.
I think about that all the time. When I'm driving down by the marina, I always think about Marina Waterman.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you. All right. Did you have a question about Tylenol?
Yeah, Tylenol 1, Dr. Drew. I've been taking it just for pain in my shoulder and elbow. Is it bad to take too much?
Yes, it's codeine. So you're constantly...
Well, there's codeine. I got the bottle in front of me here. It's 15 milligrams of caffeine, 8 milligrams of codeine, and 300 milligrams of acetaminophen.
It's codeine.
And what's the caffeine for?
It's headaches.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's codeine.
No, I don't know. It just comes with that. But like, I just have like shoulder and elbow pain. Like, is it bad to be taking that all the time?
Drew says yes.
It's a strong opiate. If you can't stop, you're opiate addicted. So you need
Tylenol.
No, the codeine.
Oh, but
it's Tylenol codeine.
Oh, Tylenol 1 is Tylenol with codeine.
Yes.
And is that over the counter?
Maybe in Toronto, that's where he is. We don't even have Tylenol 1 down here.
I was going to ask. Over the counter?
Yeah, it's over the counter.
All right. No, they don't have that here.
Yeah, we don't have it. We definitely don't have it over the counter.
But all right, so Barry, can you take it easy on it?
I'm taking around like 8 or 10 a day. Is that too much?
Yes.
Way, way too much.
Like what kind of damage could that do?
Liver damage, right?
No.
No?
Opiate addiction, which can kill you. When you stop, you will have withdrawal.
Isn't it not great for your liver, too?
It's a strange thing about Tylenol and opiates, like Vicodin and Tylenol with codeine number 3, is the way people step it up, the liver has a chance to accommodate the Tylenol in such a way that it shunts it over to a different enzymatic pathway that makes it into a non-toxic product. If he were to zoom to 10 tablets a day from zero, he would have a big problem.
Okay.
But the way people step these things up, I've seen out of maybe 3,000 or 4,000 addicts I treated with Tylenol combined opiate products, I saw one with a liver problem.
All right. Barry, take it easy. I need people who can get my jokes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Troy.
Well, weight gain, low energy, achy joints. If you've been struggling, Dr. Stephen Gundry says you're not alone. Of course, Dr. Gundry, maybe find out from me what number podcast he was on with me. He is famous. He's respected. And he says that most of these problems aren't about lack of exercise or even the genetics. His issue that he attacks is called leaky gut. It happens when you eat certain foods that contain lectins. And he's been a leader in this field. It's a tiny particle that potentially opens up holes in your digestive tract. These particles can give trouble it can cause things like fatigue, achy joints, muscles, brain fog, and even some other worse health issues for some folks.
Episode 346.
So 346, I interviewed Dr. Gundry about the lectins. He has a book about it. It's a whole theory. And we need to know what foods to avoid, and Dr. Gundry has made a free video describing exactly what they are. And people who watch the video have reported significant improvement. The people that are advocates of his dietary management, I've talked to a number of people that really do feel that it has helped them. It seems also to be one of the diets that helps with the central obesity issue. And if you want to tackle the leaky gut syndrome, if you feel like you're somebody who might be having that kind of a problem, watch the video at TotalRestore1.com. That is Total, T-O-T-A-L, Restore, R-E-S-T-O-R-E, number one. So it's TotalRestore1, number one, .com, where you can catch this video. And it seems like you can get it for free. Dr. Gundry's an interesting guy. He was a cardiothoracic surgeon who is now focusing on trying to help people this way.
Vash?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I was listening to you guys the other day talking about self-driving cars and kind of, you know, as a way of mitigating traffic. And it reminded me of this recent Sunday special, you know, Ben Shapiro show. I know you were on it, Ace Man, like not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Tucker Carlson was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they started talking about self-driving trucks, you know, like the trucking industry. And Tucker had this insane reaction when Ben Shapiro brought it up. And, you know, lately Tucker, and I love both of them, by the way, but lately Tucker's been kind of on this very, you know, populist, very pro-worker thing. And he had this very insane reaction to the prospect of the automotive trucking industry. Just like, I think that's insane. It put workers out of work, you know, whatever. But I think if you watch that video, you'll get a greater sense of it. But it's like 1 minute or something like that. But his reaction is so insane and so funny. I think you'll love it. But if you've seen it, I'd love to get your take on it.
I'm familiar with both their thoughts on that subject, not just truck driving, but just sort of in general. And I think what basically we're talking about is automation replacing human beings. And I think Drew and I are probably more with Ben on this one, which is first things first.
Do the math. Just do the math. That's our thing.
What do you mean? Well, no, there is a math. There's trucking is a big industry,
yep.
and it's a pretty decent paycheck for a lot of guys.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, in terms of the safety aspects first.
No, that's not what they're talking about.
I know. I understand. But we said do the math. Then secondly, okay, now this issue.
All right. Well, no, there's math to do all the way around
here.
Yeah. And so nobody knows what the future holds unless they have a crystal brain like myself.
Well, we're going to get into that next week. I'm just saving that one.
But nobody ever wants any, you know, when I hear about somebody saying, well, the B-1 bomber, the Pentagon says they don't need it. You know how many people Lockheed employs on the B-1 bomber program? I'm like, oh, they're going to have to get a job doing something else
right.
then. We're
right.
not going to keep building something to keep
need.
People employed.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
It's never going to work.
That's what communist countries do.
Right. And the thing, I Tucker Carlson's a great guy, and I respect his opinions on many matters, but and I do think he's looking out for the working class guy.
Yep.
And there's nothing more working class traditionally
trucking.
Than a truck driver.
Yep.
And that is a trade where a guy with just a high school education and 2 weeks worth of I'm Debbie Dudes and get to trucking or Wally Thorpe or whatever it is can go out and make a nice living for him and his family, whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can ever artificially slow down anything for the sake of employment.
Individual companies can. Let's put it that way.
I don't think it's a good idea historically to ever say, and people do this, well, I make wooden wheels for buggies and whips, and I don't want to be out of work, and I have a lot of people. It just doesn't. We've done this our whole lives, and there are many, many, many examples where this automation will put X amount of people out of work.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, some people will go, okay, so you've taken the automotive production industry, and now you've built all these computers, these robots that can do all these spot welds and do blah, blah, and the whole line is automated. Well, this line used to be inhabited by 300 guys. Now it's inhabited by 16 guys who are running the welding robots.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. So you go, what about the other 278 guys? And you 277 guys. And you go, I don't know. And they go, what about them being out of work? And it's like, that's moot. We're moving on. There's no such thing as this line not being automated. So hopefully they got some training and they're now programming the robots or manufacturing the robots.
Or repairing them.
Yeah. But there is no stopping and looking back. That doesn't exist. And every time there's a new piece of technology and a new thing, it's going to Uber is going to put a lot of cab drivers out of work, and it's going to create a lot of revenue for guys who drive their cars and want some extra money. It's not even worth parsing it out. It just is. It's progress.
Right, the what is higher levels of efficiency in the marketplace. And efficiency tends to always lead to improvement. I'm not an economist, so I can't say it always leads to improvement, but it tends to lead to improvement overall. Efficiencies in the marketplace are good.
Yes, but it doesn't mean that groups aren't temporarily hurt.
Yes.
We may look at long-haul trucker like we now talk about sharecropper.
Right.
And they just go, well, that job doesn't exist anymore. Okay, so I'll have to tell my son and my daughter, do not look forward to driving a Peterbilt.
Could that trucker make a similar living doing Uber?
I don't think so, but okay. here's what I'm saying. If the B-1 bomber is not something we need as a nation, we have to shut down the plant.
Yeah.
And if that means that the 1,000 people that work at that Boeing plant are going to be out of work, mm-hmm. Well, that's part of life. And I feel bad for those 1,000 people, and all efforts should be made to help those 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean the plant should continue.
I agree.
Okay.
I'm telling you what I'm looking forward to is the drones in the sky. And that's going to need a lot of self-driving technology. And people always tell me, oh, my God, the air traffic and the regulation. Have them fly just over the roads. Have them fly over the roads. We have to say F you to our city officials because they are not running our city. So the only way to compensate for that, as you talk about efficiency, we're just going over their roads. It's coming.
I just got back from Boston. I can tell you there's a few potholes over there.
Yeah, they have ice. They have ice. You're supposed to have potholes where there's cities that have ice. We don't have ice. We shouldn't have potholes.
Yeah, we don't have ice or ice anymore. We have either ice. We don't have immigration enforcement either. You know, it's funny about Mike Lynch. Mm. There's two types of dudes. There's pothole hitters and there's pothole avoiders.
Yeah.
He's a pothole hitter. He's one of those guys. It's just you see the pot. Like I'm riding shotgun. We drove all over Boston. I'm like looking at it. Like he hits it dead center on each time. And he's not like talking and flapping his hands around or anything. And he's woke. Like he's not out of it.
Yeah.
You know, he knows what you're talking about. You would not think of him as that guy. He's a pothole hitter. Lynch is like, I wanted to grab the wheel a couple times because I stare at potholes coming up and go like, do not.
About just you. Ka-chunk. I was thinking
I told
about
him
you.
Very tactfully. I said, do not step under a 55 series tire. That'll be a world of pain for you and your family. You'll never make it home. You're a pothole hitter. You need a 55
or above
You can go 60, 65, 70.
Yeah.
Play it safe.
Did he agree with you?
He nodded his head in silence. He understood.
Okay.
He understood. Let me tell you about ExpressVPN. Purchasing online and accessing your email puts your private information at risk. You're being tracked by social media sites, marketing companies, and mobile internet providers. I decided to take my privacy back with ExpressVPN. Easy-to-use app that runs seamlessly in the background of my computer, phone, and tablet. ExpressVPN secures and makes your internet browsing anonymous by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. Uh-huh. Isn't this what it's all getting down to, people? Gary, you love this too, right?
It's the best. You know how it used to be if you'd search for a product for the next 6 months, every ad on the internet was for that product?
Yes.
No more with ExpressVPN. Mm.
Nice.
I'm not going to get the Kentucky Owl ads anymore.
Less than $7 a month comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Rated number one VPN service by TechRadar. If you ever use public Wi-Fi and want to keep hackers from seeing your data, ExpressVPN is the solution. Right, Drew?
Check your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/ADS. That is expressvpn.com/ADS for 3 free months with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/ADS to learn more.
Oh, we're going to talk about crank yankers?
Yeah, that's right. I also want to talk to you. I was thinking about you, but I'll talk about it tomorrow, maybe
crank
next week.
Yankers got picked up for 20 episodes. I didn't talk about it because I was told not to talk about it, I think. Also, it's because, I don't know, I have a weird wiring, which is I tend to want to talk about things that
wheels
no one cares about.
Wheels.
Oh, man, I talked about wheels. I tweeted about wheels the other day. Guy wanted to know about offsets. I'm into that. Somehow, crank yankers didn't make the cut.
Do you guys have mapped out what you're likely to do or casting or anything like that yet?
Well,
or is that you have to sit down and figure that all out?
Let me tell you about a show. A show is sort of like a restaurant or any endeavor when it's just a wide open space. And you're just dealing with, well, where should we put the tables?
Yeah,
and what corner should we put the bathroom in? It is tough. Once you get a little template, I mean, life is this way. You know what I mean?
But the reason I was asking that is you have a template for the show, not the production yet. And you have a network that probably has expectations. Like, well, what are you going to do this time? How is it going to be? How is it going to be different? Who is it going to be? Was there any of that stuff?
Well, yeah. I mean, The thing that was really cool about the first iteration of Crank Yankers is a lot of funny people and notable people wanted to be involved with it because they were fans of it, which is sort of nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to, you know, in a world where you have to like, oh, come on, you have to coax everyone to do stuff.
Right.
People really responded to the show and wanted to do it. So I think there's always going to be... It's always going to be the part where, you know, hopefully we get George Clooney to make a call. It was funny because I was talking to Jimmy about it and he was like, yeah, he'll have George Clooney come on the show and he'll hit up George Clooney to come do a crank yanker session. But the thing that was funny I was talking to Jimmy about was inevitably those people then go, hey, man, I got a charity event too. Right. It'd be nice if you emceed.
Right.
So, which is fine.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But it is kind of funny that Jimmy is now the guy who's got the juice in the late night show. He's the guy who could talk to Oprah or could talk to George Clooney. But you're always wide open because there's no such thing as you telling Ellen, do a session of Crank Yankers, and then her not going, oh, by the way, in March, I got a thing for dogs, you know, many dogs are homeless on the street. We need an MC. It's at Griffith Park. You know, what are you going to do? Shove off?
Quid pro quo.
You're going to get the clamps onto you. So I was kind of laughing about that.
So is that the expectation? Jimmy's going to bring in the big A?
Well, I think the expectation is last version had a lot of big names in it, and this version would as well. Now, obviously,
now, can you bring back some of the less PC characters, like Special Ed, or
These are all very good questions.
And I remember Armisen did that Indian character, didn't he?
Fred, yeah.
Could you bring that back?
Fred was his character. If you can find Fred's character, it was so funny on Crank Yankers. The reason his character is funny as an Indian, American Indian, is it was way understated.
Yes.
Which people, I don't think, realize the sort of brilliance in not pushing the character to make it into a caricature, but a much more sort of low-key American Indian, which for some reason... I think that's kind of the brilliance of Fred, that he was like a...
You could choose that.
Who does a character, pick sort of a far-out character, and then goes way down in energy with it, which, by the way, makes it much more believable. I've always said, like...
You didn't like my hip-hop character?
If somebody calls up and says, you know, this is Mike Tyson, and they're doing Tyson and a half. Yeah. It's not Mike Tyson. If it seems low energy,
right,
it might be Mike Tyson. Yeah. What was that, Proud Feather? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think it is Proud Feather. We're going to look it up right now.
Was he calling a Taco Bell or something?
I think the one that we ended up finding was about Dreamcatchers.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, I'll see if we can find it again.
All right, we'll see if we can find Fred. He's, I don't know, in a weird way, I feel reluctant to say quietly, you know, kind of comic genius, but he is.
Oh, yeah.
But sort of quietly. He doesn't. He's not out pumping his fist. No, he's not doing the Kevin Hart thing.
No.
But he's quietly comedy genius.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. Kind of hipster comedy genius in a weird way.
All right. Let me tell you about LifeLock while we look for that. Tax season, boy. It's upon us. Scammers are back. Never give your tax documents to a preparer until you've verified their credibility. File early. Watch out for emails impersonating the IRS. While you need to protect yourself against these scams, you don't want to fall for these scams. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. You're not going to have a problem. But if you do have a problem, well, you have the power of LifeLock in your corner. These guys are the best, right? Right, Drew?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That is promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
We will find Chief Proudfeather or whatever. We'll play some of that in the next show and tell you about that. Right. You can go to adamcarolla.com/events. Just a few days left if you want to see my Not Taco Bell material stand-up special, my first stand-up special. It's been a long time coming, Drew. A lot of weird emotions around that. Mm. Go to tugg.com. Find out what kind of weird emotions. I'll tell you about it next show.
Oh.
All right.
Can't wait.
Yeah. And just go to amcarolla.com for anything you're looking for. And you can check out Corolla Classics on Podcast One. We're right around 10 years of podcasting. So check that out. Crazy. Drew, what do you got?
Go to drdrew.com. How long have we been here? We did 1,000 shows here.
Plus, yeah.
Drdrew.com. Check out The Family Pods, This Life, You Live, the new one, Dr. After Dark, and the Opiate series. We have a transgender series up now and an audiobook series of that. Really a lot of good stuff going on at Drdrew.com. Check it all out.
So until next time, I'm Prof. Dr. Drew. Say mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.